good. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, do we have a tax bill? Oh.
Yeah, do you want to... You've got the printout, the summary.
Oh, sorry. Do I have it?
Sorry. We're hiding it.
It's all right. Madam Chair, I move we approve the accounts payable, and that would be cycle date 311 through 315, and that would be for the regular checks in the amount of $937,607.58. The payroll checks, same time period, $543,179.19. And the IRS and income tax and all those things associated with that was $223,485.70. Total warrants approved, $1,704,272.47. No county manager has reviewed and approved such.
Second.
Are you going to do have items of note for us?
I do,
great.
Actually. Yeah,
thank
I've got
you.
Tom's list. So there are some items. It looks like one item from the 2018 AP, and then the rest are 2019. But the 2018 item is Smart for Cure Incorporated, amount of $5,000. This is for three licenses for purchasing for GovSpend. It's an annual subscription cost there. The 2019 items, Avis Budget Group, $93,596.93. This is for the annual true-up at YVRA. The Hertz Corporation, $42,266.05, the same true-up for the year. Tyler Technology, $66,939.44. This is IT for Assessor and Treasurer software support. The Environmental Systems Research Institute Incorporated, in case you ever wanted to know what ESRI stood for, $35,000. IT budget, this is an annual license, 50% of that is paid by the city. Then Northwest Colorado Broadband Incorporated, $10,000 payment from IT operations. This is for Thor participation and NCB member contribution for capital. There's also another, a second one to NCB and the Northwest Colorado Broadband Incorporated of $17,795.97. IT operations for broadband capacity purchase for the remainder of the 2019 contracted services buying ahead for the year. The Steamboat Springs or City of Steamboat Springs $476.95 and $955.28. That is building and plant budget for the CLAP reimbursement to the city for January of 2019. Exxon Enterprise Incorporated, $19,499.60. The sheriff's budget for a three-year license and support for 17 cameras. Hertz, $12,886.20, and is coming from YVRA budget, reconciliation for overpayments from December 2017 and February 2018 for fuel system services. And that is it.
All right. All in favor of approval of the this thing?
Aye.
Chuck approval sheet.
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye. Excuse me.
We're good.
Yeah. Feeling a little punchy this morning. So yesterday's work session, we had updates from county manager, from legal. Public Works, the CSU extension, a deputy county manager, and an update on the CHAPS process from Environmental Health and Northwest Colorado Health.
Madam Chair, I move to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, D, and E.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Out in the snowbank, you know. So yeah, there's absolutely nowhere to go.
Time for the weather to turn bad.
Oh, it's just...
So you're participating in the ag.
Oh, yeah, so I'm participating in the ag.
Yeah. Doug is leading us ag week.
Yes.
We're drawing back on?
Yes, yep. We are. Did you turn your mic on?
No.
All right. Go ahead.
So we are here to... have you approve a resolution, and the request is a resolution proclaiming the week of March 17th to the 24th, which is current, as Agricultural Week in Routt County. And Patrick is here with the Ag Alliance to add to that.
We appreciate the support from the Routt County. You know, Routt County has a large history in agriculture, and it's important to the county, and we just really appreciate the support of the county commissioners recognizing Ag Week.
And we have a list of events that was passed along for participation.
Great.
And I'll put these out, the posters out, too. Great.
So well, I think it's great that you guys take, you know, make the effort to do this whole week of activities, draw attention to agriculture. And like I keep telling my friends in Steamboat Springs, that part of what makes Steamboat Springs economically successful is what we do on the outside part of the county, keeping open space and keeping agricultural real here in Routt County rather than just a picture postcard ag economy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great, and I'm excited to see you kind of bringing ag into Steamboat as well. You know, talking about backyard ag and always having the farmers market. I think it's great to connect the people who live in Steamboat to that heritage in Routt County.
You have a number?
I think we're on 8. Yeah, yes, 8. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move we approve resolution 2019-008, a resolution proclaiming the week of March 17th through March 24th, 2019, as Agriculture Week in Routt County. And there's whereases, and therefore be it resolved that in appreciation of ranchers and farmers in Routt County, we, the Routt County Board of County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim the week of March 17th through March 24th, 2019, as Agriculture Week in Routt County.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Patrick.
I'll record it, and then I'll email it to you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Morning, sir.
All right.
Is this us?
Yeah.
It is.
So.
All right.
Going?
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead. So we're reviewing the financials, 2018 financials and 2019 budgets for the Museum and Heritage Advisory Board and the museum entities.
Okay, so Pete Wither here, and at our last meeting we had a couple of questions about some of the budgets.
Yeah.
And the Hans Peak Historical Society budget, because the dues and donations had been separated and didn't follow the same method as the previous year. So a request was made for the entity to revise the budget sheet, and I think that's been received, hasn't it?
It has, yes. Marge looked at it and fixed it to meet the previous years and how it was represented. So
what's in our packet is the accurate piece of information?
Correct.
Okay.
So other than that, I think all the entities, I don't think there was any issue with how they presented their financials. Everything looked in order.
Right, and of course they're very aware of the mill levy differences because of the tax situations in different districts.
Yeah, Oak Creek especially.
Oak Creek especially, yeah.
Because so I was wondering about that specifically, just because I don't know the history of this. Is that fractional allocation was that in the mill levy? in the ballot language?
Yep. Yes, it was.
Okay. And so that it has to be distributed in that way?
Yeah. And the way that was broken up was, I think we used fire districts to separate the districts because that was the most accurate way to do the population around the different museums.
Got it.
Yep. That's the fire district. That's what we use.
So we actually created a map, mm-hmm. and then the assessor goes through and allocates the tax by the valuation for all those districts. And then the problem is that the Oak Creek district, and in fact, the Hayden district is going to be going down as well.
It'll be the same,
and, you know.
Well,
and
Steamboat's
still keeps going up some, you know, and the rest, but
yeah, I mean, definitely you see that disparity of the money that Treadle Pioneers is.
So it was kind of a trade-off when we were creating the whole thing. Was to, we didn't want to do it population-wise. You didn't want to do it by, you know, geographic area. And then there was some synergies of who was creating the money and that they should have more of the money. And through what I believed at that point in time was an economic development tool. And so, you know, Treadle Pioneers ended up being the big winner, but there the city of Steamboat Springs creates probably 80% of our tax revenues, the property tax revenues. So.
Right, and it was a really big boon to the museum entities, all of them.
Absolutely.
So they are able to do actually some museum work instead of not trying to get donations and keep their museums going all the time.
Right.
So they very much appreciate that.
Yeah, I guess I was just curious if there was an opportunity to create a floor funding level, but I'm assuming there's not because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very specific.
Okay.
It is very specific.
It would have to go back to the voters again.
Okay.
The opportunity for them, especially the lower end museums, when they do have a project, is come back to the board and get funding, their projects get funded by the capacity building grant. So that's where they maybe get a little more money to finish projects that they, you know, could do if they had more revenue, but they don't. So they come to the museum and we then sponsor those projects.
And Historic Rock County ends up, you know, being Rock County wide.
Right.
They get 10% off the top as well. So the 10% goes to the grant fund, 10% goes to Historic Rock County. So they have a little more discretionary money that they could throw around in different places too. So
yeah, that makes sense.
And then the other thing too is our overhead is quite low. It's just my time, which is very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that money that is the 3% that's allocated to administration goes back to the capacity building grant. So there's always a little more extra money that goes in there every year.
Right, and if all the money isn't allocated in one year, it just moves up to the next year, so we have that in reserve, basically.
Yeah.
That's been very, very well used over the year for different projects.
So we're in 30,000-40,000 most years, at least.
Great.
So some of the projects, I mean, so Oak Creek's still working on its basement remodel. Treadle Pioneers, we just saw some more digitization with the pilot coming on.
Yeah, the three-wire winter project.
And Yampa has finished up their project with Crossins.
Crossins, yeah.
And
that's not Yampa Aguirre.
Historic Rock County, yeah.
That's Historic Rock County that finished the Crossins project.
Right.
So I guess that's like just the, you know, I've always heard a little bit of grumbling about Yampa Aguirre society carrying such a large balance. That they're carrying like a $35,000 reserve year over year.
Yeah.
And they basically, their revenues are $6,000 or $7,000 a year. And
what's the concern? Just that they're not spending the money?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, if you look at their financials, their year-ending balance for 2016 was $37,000. 2017, 38,000. 2018, 35,000. Now I see that in their year-end budget for 2019 is projected at 25,000, and I can see that they've got capital projects and programs in the amount of 21,000, but I'm not sure what.
I think they're going to do some interpretive signs, some displays at Crossins.
Okay.
So they're going to spend a little money.
Okay.
At Crossins.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole lower level of Crossins is in essence
a museum.
A museum.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that and it's space for Yappy and Guria to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And, so I'm glad to see that they're beginning to move some of that money and get it going.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just till what 2 years ago that we were sending the money to Town of Yampa. They were the steward.
Yeah, because they didn't have the 501c3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is a new thing for them too.
Okay.
That they didn't have it. But Janet was the one that presented, and she did kind of. Indicated that there was some projects, especially the...
You guys need to work that out at the home front, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be some interpretive signs.
You probably have some
display.
Not as much as you would think.
Yeah, they are planning to do some displays, I think, in Crossroads
okay.
Market.
That's great.
See the history of the area.
Yeah.
And then they've been working on that jail up there, too.
And I think that's been some of the frustration, is that even before Crossins was completed in the last 2 or 3 years, the jail was hardly ever open.
Yeah, right.
They just weren't getting it manned and open to the public. So
right.
I think, yeah, some of them, you're right, those discussions are taking place out in that area. And,
well, that's good.
And
you know.
You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of strife to... To get
well,
to
you know, it's
progress.
Nice that they have the money to be able to work with to be able to do that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
That was the whole purpose of the program.
Yeah,
that we
exactly. Initiated,
and that's so. What the people voted on and approved.
Yep.
And so they don't pay any staff at all.
You know,
from what I
they
see
could
here,
if they chose to. There's nothing that prevents
right.
them.
No.
I mean, everybody else it looks like does at least a little
Hans
bit
Peak
of staff
does,
time.
I don't think.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, but.
They're
yes,
small.
They can if they want to.
Yeah.
If the money's them for them to use however they see fit.
Right. Yeah.
It's really been a godsend for the museums. It's actually made them viable.
Absolutely.
Hans Peak still has, you know, almost about $4,000 a year in payroll expenses.
Yeah.
So
probably they may have a clerk for the store. They have
somebody
a store,
that,
right?
Just to keep it open. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So they might have that.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain volunteer. Point, you can't always depend on volunteers to do everything.
No, they can't do everything.
Yeah. Especially in these smaller communities.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a limited group of people that really show up and volunteer
exactly.
for stuff.
And it's always the same ones for everything.
Absolutely. Without question. All right. Do you guys have any other questions, comments?
No, I guess anything special during you guys' meetings that came out? I mean, well, I think we kind of touched on it. We read through your minutes.
Yep.
We read through the reports from all the people. And you guys, again, you know, the MOFAB board do a great job. You know, and again, that's why we championed you guys to do that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
right.
the representation there and you guys' interest in taking care of the taxpayers' funds and the rest. So, if you don't have anything, if you got anything that really stuck out somewhere that, you know, that was some concern. So,
I don't think that, you know, I mean, there was a few questions about why they budgeted this or budgeted that, but for the most part, we just approved what they had requested.
Thanks for your time on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a group of cats to herd right there.
Yeah, right? It's been really interesting to see a change over the years. And you've been here for quite a few years, and you've seen a lot of changes yourself. And I was on the museum board down at Thread of Pioneers in the early 2000s, and it was just a struggle just to keep it open every year. And now with this, you know, it's basically a stipend, really. This just keeps them going, and then they can have special events if they want to raise more money, or, you know, they can plan on projects instead of just trying to get donations all the time.
No, it's pretty interesting. I mean, forward and outlooking versus trying to just keep the doors open. Yes.
Yeah,
right.
So be proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah,
what a concept.
No, and we've seen across since it's been opened, it's been amazing the number of people that come through that are really interested to see. You know, visitors to the community, that, you know, it's become a central place for visitors to stop in.
Yeah.
And some of the displays they have right there right now are really cool. As,
right.
As the all the old photographs of the old lettuce fields. And,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
all that
stuff. The history of the railroad coming through and, you know, stuff I didn't know about. You know, one time south of Yampa, they had a man camp of something like 10,000 guys.
Wow.
In a man camp.
Making the railroad.
Yeah. And with like 20,000 mules, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. Imagine that. That's as many people live in Steamboat right now. Well, it's like that in Hans Peak, too.
Yep.
In our gold days.
Yep. So.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, sure. It is. It helps people connect, with the community.
Apparently, there's a fair number of people that are interested in just traveling around with just looking at heritage of different areas. And it's actually a tourism.
Sure. Nancy Kramer's.
Yeah, like that.
Yep. Well, great. I'm ready to make a motion.
Huh? Yeah, either that or I'll do that. So I think I'll
okay, go ahead and do it.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve and accept the report back from the Museum and Heritage Fund Advisory Board in relationship to the activity from 2018 and accept those reports from all of those entities, which all seem to be in good standing.
And the 2019 budgets.
Okay, yep. And the 2019 budgets.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thanks, Pete, for coming in.
Pete.
Let's get moving.
Let's get moving.
I can't wait to hear what Dan has to tell us.
Yeah, you can.
I'm just going to stick her in.
It's a public meeting. You can do whatever you want. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, so we are here for consideration by the Board of County Commissioners to waive the formal purchasing process and approve the award and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Challenge Technology, Inc. for the amount of $42,732 for the uninterruptible power supply project at the Clef Building. This budget is... this was a budgeted item at $22,000, so we will be over, and we have checked with accounting, and based on the capital pool at the end of the year, we will probably be back for a supplemental budget. Hopefully not, but the reason why it was so under budgeted was the last time we purchased this in 2017, it was only $20,000. This is a little different design that we're going into with the Clef Building. And this purchase adheres to the purchasing policy and procedure as cited in the Route County Purchasing Manual, 6th edition, section 3.3, waiver of the formal purchase process as to the following criteria: particular material, professional service, or services required in order to standardize or maintain standardization for the purposes of reducing financial investment or simplifying administration, where the process may cause undue delay or hardship for a department, and this equipment needs to be ordered ASAP in order for the move to happen, and waiver of the competitive purchase is found to be in the best interest of the county and its citizens.
So, will someone, first of all, is this essentially a big battery?
It's a big...
Or a generator?
Cabinet of batteries.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a generator.
It's not a generator.
It's going to preempt the generator. So, when the...
Preempt, what does that mean?
Well, when the power goes out in the building...
Yeah, so it's like the little one that we have at the base in our computers.
Yeah, but
it's a whole bunch of
a whole bunch of batteries. And when you have a power outage, the generator takes some time to fire up. So you can't lose any of your stuff during that time. So the UPS kicks in uninterrupted, and powers critical needs, which is communication.
It's also providing clean filtered power from Yampa Valley Electric to all of the equipment that's on the UPS itself.
What does that mean?
We've blown up some stuff.
Well, I get what filtered
power,
means
power surges and things like that.
Okay,
it will cut those out.
So, got it.
It's protecting probably between $1.5 million and $2 million worth of electronics equipment inside the comm center and in our server room.
So this only serves the communication center?
Yes.
And all of the conduit and piping and wire was captured within the original CLEF construction budget. So we're
joking. No, it was not. It was it's captured in ESI number 13.
Okay, but it's still it's captured within the CLEF expenses.
Yes.
And the yes. and the separate amount for the comm center. So we had to do some additional yes. piping, but that was part of the construction project. This is pretty much plug and play. You buy this piece of equipment, set it on the floor, and plug it in.
Well,
because I don't
it's
see
not that easy. The equipment. This is for the purchase of the equipment. The installation will be by Calcon.
So
and the startup will be by Challenge Technologies.
So we'll have some additional expenses to the comm center budget
yes.
for the installation costs through Calcon. And will Calcon like hire Central Electric?
So let's make sure we get all this right here. I'm confused too. Now I'm really confused. So who's paying for this? I mean, it's coming out of the CLEF or it's coming out of the comm board? And so I guess...
So I think that the in-the-wall wiring and conduit...
Is already there.
Is part of the CLEF. Of our construction cost on the communications part of the CLEF.
Agree, yes. Building. Yeah.
This is coming out of the pool. This piece of equipment.
Yes.
Correct.
And, okay, so then the other question, then we already did budget for this, is that correct?
We budgeted $22,000.
We under budgeted.
And so then how did we come up with, that was what we thought, that was what the old machine was?
Well, let Steve
based,
talk about the design,
2017
how the design transpired purchase. And where we ended up with where we are.
Yeah, that was our assumed loads based on what we're doing today minus the server room. Because we're taking the server room off, so
off of the UPS.
Off, yeah, the server because UPS that's there now is going to stay. It's going to power the server room for the cut.
So this required a larger piece of equipment
yes.
than what we had originally budgeted
yes.
for. It's not that the cost of the piece of equipment changed by $20,000. Okay.
As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but at one time. The design for this UPS system was going to cost considerably more than this.
Yeah, a little over 100.
And then you guys went back to the drawing board and pared it down
correct.
As much as you felt was reasonably.
Correct. Took yeah. a lot of load off of it. And this, if I remember right, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, this UPS is about double the size of the UPS that we have now in the...
It is double.
That's yeah, okay.
Because we have 18 kVA now, and this is a 40 kVA. But it's three phase instead of single phase, which changed the whole design, too.
So on the bottom of the quote from Challenge Power, the bottom right-hand corner, the dimensions. So we're getting this UPS system consists of three different pieces of equipment?
Yes, the UPS is the actual machine itself. And then the EBC is the external battery cabinet. That's where all the batteries go. I think there's
4,000 pounds, yeah.
There's probably, I think, 40 batteries that go
well,
in
that's
there.
A big chunk of equipment right there.
And then the MVP is the maintenance bypass panel, which gets monitored on the ground.
Are all three of these pieces, where are you putting these anyway?
In the comm center server room.
Downstairs. Oh, all of the stuff. None of it's going up inside
correct.
Of your
all
space.
Of it will go in the comm center server room.
Okay.
I think it's space 145 on the plans.
Okay.
So the justification for the waiver of the formal purchasing process is because the revision of the design took until, it looks like, just a few weeks ago to complete that. Is that
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, the design was completed March 8th wasn't complete until March 8th.
Yeah, this took a long time to get designed.
Right.
It was crazy. It really was.
And what information do we have or confidence that we have that there's not a cheaper way to do this? I mean, how have you evaluated
or
that?
Or that they're the only ones that
right.
provide it, yeah.
Well, I did go back to our last purchase of the UPS, and we did have an RFP on that, and Challenge Power Technologies was the low bidder for that one. And I just looking at the price they came in with, I feel it's a very competitive price.
And that's the same organization you have a maintenance contract with for other UPS as well, right?
Yes, they do take care of all of our UPS machines throughout the county.
So we have them in other locations.
Grab a chair over there. Just come up, set over here next to Ryan. So
yes, we have three other
machines. Sit next to Ray so that you can hear what's going on up here. It's kind of hard to hear out there.
So, yeah, we have three other machines, and they require annual maintenance and battery upgrades. Testing.
So does this include annual maintenance then?
No, we'll have to get a maintenance contract. So that'll be out of our operations budget.
So just for grins, how much is that?
$42,000
piece of equipment. Is that $10,000 a year?
It's probably, you know, right now each of our machines is about $1,800. This might be a little more.
Okay.
Because it's a three-phase unit. Might be $2,500 a year. Maintenance. If you get the right kind of contract with them, the batteries are replaceable under the maintenance contract.
We would hope we would get some value out of it.
Yes,
if we can get
a good maintenance contract with them, it'll cover battery replacement.
Okay,
probably 5 years down the road.
So for these other UPS systems that we have throughout the county, you did go through an RFP process on those, and Challenge was determined to be the most competitive pricing on those. Is that correct?
The most recent that I'm aware of, yes.
Well, we don't really have a lot of comparable UPS systems around the county.
Right.
I mean, this is a unique situation for
yeah,
the Cox Center.
I understand that.
And we would have been able to go out for the formal had we had the final design sooner.
I know.
It's just getting down to the wire now.
I just want to make sure we're doing our diligence when we're $20,000 over budget and waiving the purchasing process.
Well, you see the
right.
justification there.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could probably...
I think a lot of assumptions had to be made last year when our budget for this project this year was being developed, not just for this particular component, but for a lot of other components for the CLEF. And I know Commissioner Corden can probably speak of that as well, because he's intimately involved in all of those meetings about how things get adjusted through this with the design build process. So as things develop, like Commissioner Corden said, in probably December, we were looking at a $100,000 unit. And we were able to make some design changes and go back and forth, and we finally were able to get things pared down to where we feel comfortable. And in my mind, I want to have enough run time, enough battery time, so that if the generator for some reason doesn't start, we're protected and we've got enough runtime for our equipment to operate until somebody can get there and get the generator running. And that's essentially what we're looking at here. About 60 minutes of runtime is what the design is here. 78 minutes of runtime.
And it does include a full 1 year warranty on all parts and labor.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm less concerned about the cost overrun, because I totally agree.
Yeah, it's
we didn't, it is what it is.
It's less than 100.
Right.
Yeah, so
right,
we're
right. We have savings.
And I'm glad we had the conversation to talk about why we're waiving the formal bid process. It's a timing issue.
And Commissioner Milton asked the question, why is this double what it was to begin with? We had to make assumptions up front in
right.
support of where
and
Steve developed the budget.
No,
it was what do we have at the other building? That's all he had to compare.
I think the thing that is just a little bit frustrating to me is how long that design process took.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it felt like that took far longer than it should have, but part of that was paring it down to get it the lowest possible price we could get.
It's
been cost
it was like 8 feet and five.
Yeah, the back and forth with the electrical engineer.
Okay.
Yeah. We,
all right.
We spent a lot more time on it than we cared to, as well, to be honest with you.
All right. So,
well, hopefully we got a good product out of it, you guys.
So, Madam Chair, I would move to waive the formal purchasing process and approve the award and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Challenge Technology Incorporated for the amount of $42,732 for the UPS project at the CLEF, noting that a supplemental budget may be necessary.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thanks
guys.
For your work on that.
Stay good.
Now we're on lunch. I, acting as chair, move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to discuss the county attorney's annual review. This executive session is being electronically recorded, but minutes of the meeting will not be produced. This is an executive session for the following purpose. Let me find it. For discussion of a personnel matter under CRS Section 24-6-402-4F1 and 2, and not involving any specific employees who have requested discussion of the matter in open session, any member of this body or any elected official, the appointment of any person to fill an office of this body or of an elected official, or personnel policies that do not require the discussion of matters personal to particular employees. I caution each participant to confine all discussion to the stated purpose of the executive session, and that no formal action may occur in the executive session. If at any point in the executive session any participant believes the discussion is going outside the proper scope of the executive session, please interrupt the discussion and make an objection. It is March 19th, 2019, and the time is 1:26 p.m.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The time is now 2:20 p.m. and the executive session has been concluded. The following persons were present at this executive session: Commissioners Corrigan, Melton, and Munger. The board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion to go into executive session, and no formal action was taken.